Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And I am Jake.
Today we're going to be doing another one of our Foundation series. These are evergreen episodes meant to provide a resource for you to listen to at any point in the future to be able to enjoy and look back on if you need some additional information on something we refer back to frequently in future episodes. And today we're going to be talking about your deck's core strategies. So what we're looking for when we say, what is a strategy? We're looking for the commander equivalent of what is our aggro combo control? What makes these useful in discussing or categorizing our decks and why we need these? So in my mind, the concept of a strategy is the broadest possible direction for your deck. They're a useful heuristic to understand what your deck wants to do, what your deck is good at in terms of in-game decisions, in terms of deck building decisions. Does your deck want to go for long game value with Seaborne Amuse or just try to close things out fast with mass bodies? When you guys think about the strategies, what other types of things do you find to be helpful with them?
So a strategy for a deck, I think you can kind of liken it to an elevator pitch, just a really short couple sentence summary of what your deck is built to do, how it plays, and generally how it will handle the other decks at the table.
That's a good way to put it. It's coming down with a basic plan and deciding, hey, this is what I want to do, and what goals and elements do I need to have in place in order to achieve what it is I'm going for. And then you break down what gets you from point A to point B to victory.
And I also find them helpful when we're actually trying to have a discussion about a deck. And say, well, you know, I ran into problems when my aggro goblins deck had a bad matchup against the person who was playing a blue-white control deck, for example. I think we all just kind of get that. Well, yeah, that's going to be a bad matchup. Now, I've often also found myself being frustrated when I'm asking for help trying to build a deck or brew a deck, and we wind up going in completely different directions with it. I want to build a nice, grindy value deck, and the suggestions I'm getting are more for these aggro decks. And it doesn't always work for the deck that I'm trying to build. I just want to kind of lay a foundation here and say that we're not really looking at ideas like stacks or elf ball or tribal or tokens right now. Those are themes that we're going to discuss in more detail in future episodes. But I would say that strategies fall above these kinds of considerations. I mean, you can have an aggro tokens deck. You can have a combo tokens deck. You can have a control tokens deck in other formats. So,
and commander, a lot of times the shorthand for describing someone's deck will just be to name the commander. And sometimes that can get a pretty good point across, but other times you could say, oh, my Rakdos deck is, and it could go in completely different ways. You could have your normal aggressive Rakdos deck or some abomination using cards that John likes to play.
That's not an abomination. That's glorious.
Thing is, sometimes you'll get Eldrazi and sometimes you'll get Scrap Trawler.
If you're doing it right, you'll always get Scrap Trawler. Of course, in 60 and 4 Magic, we have the classic trifecta of aggro, combo, and control. This has been the quintessential categorization that's been used in 60 and 4 Magic for years and years and years. Alex, why don't you take us away in describing what we mean when we say aggro, combo, control?
Well, as John mentioned, the three core ones we see are aggro, control, and combo. An aggro deck focuses on the beatdown and defeat of your opponent before they can leverage any kind of resource advantage against you, whether it's card draw or mana advantage. You put all your resources into getting that win as quickly as possible. With control, the goal is to disrupt the opponent and then overwhelm them with overwhelming advantage, whether it's overwhelming card advantage, board presence, or land advantage. And the final one is combo, where you assemble a game-breaking synergy to achieve a win condition on the spot. Normally, these are compact solutions involving two or three cards that gain you the win right then and there, and you don't have to wait a turn for it to happen.
There's another type that gets thrown around a lot called mid-range. And mid-range is kind of one of those terms that you'll hear in Magic thrown around quite often, like tempo, but it's really hard to get a definitive definition of what that term means. It's basically something that's going over aggro but under control. So it's trying to play the best of both worlds. One way of looking at this is to take your average limited deck, either draft or sealed. Most of those are going to be some form of mid-range. They might be a faster mid-range, or they might be a slightly slower, more controlly mid-range, but they're all pretty much going to be mid-range decks.
And I think the problem that we run into when we look at aggro control combo as our categorization is that the classic descriptions of how we think about these strategies really don't often apply in Commander. I mean, when was the last time you saw a classic control deck in Commander that was literally just, I'm going to counter all your spells, draw, go. It's not something we see very frequently. It was even very feasible in the multiplayer format.
I've seen a few in our time playing, but they're not super common. And the only ones that really come to head are some Grand Arbiter decks we've seen, or some Mizzet decks. But other than that, they're not a super common thing.
And even classic aggro doesn't really find much of a place. I mean, yes, there are plenty of token swarm decks out there, but I would say those are a lot more go wide than the classic burn sly that used to define aggro in 60-4 formats. Trying to define commander decks using these archetypes, these strategies, really just leads to the vast majority of decks falling into the mid-range camp. And when everything is falling into one category, which is already a bit of a messy category, it doesn't seem very useful for a categorization. So there have been some content creators who have tried to find other solutions. In the CDH community, which we've said is at the extreme end of the optimized spec part of the quadrant, a group of creators who have worked on the CDH decklist database. This includes Average Dragon, Sick Robot, ASM, Maynard Ferguson, Suganda Raja, and Wedge, not from the Mana Source, have been working on this database, and they've come up with a different way of categorizing deck strategies. Jake, you're more in depth with the CDH metagame. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
So instead of aggro control combo, the way they have classified a lot of the decks is proactive, disruptive, or adaptive. Proactive decks kind of fall into the range of aggro decks in other formats. It's not that they're fast, but they're not really going to switch to disruption. Basically, the proactive deck is the one that is going to be asking all the questions and forcing the other decks to answer them or threaten to win. They're usually the beatdown deck.
Which I guess then would mean that disruptive decks are more analogous to control?
That is accurate. So the disruptive decks are, as their name suggests, going to try to disrupt other opponents from winning. And in the meantime, establish some sort of card advantage or resource advantage engines so that they can go into the long game with an overwhelming advantage over the other decks that have already kind of petered out.
And then my understanding is the adaptive decks are a little bit more analogous to mid-range, where their goal is to try to pivot depending on what disruptive versus what proactive decks they're seated with at the table.
Yeah, if the hole is there for a deck to be a little more proactive, then they can fill that role. If the table has a weakness to a disruptive deck, they can kind of adapt over into that role. So they're going to be flexible in order to, as the name suggests, adapt to the other decks in the playgroup.
So the idea behind these categories for the strategies that the creators of the CDH decklist database came up with was that these are more descriptive of what types of roles different decks would take in a commander table. But on the other hand, they're also less intuitive than the classic aggro combo control strategies. And we're going to present what we think is a slightly better take on this spectrum with more intuitive terms. So Alex, why don't you get us started?
All right, so we're going to start with our first set, which is focused and value. And this is more of a spectrum than hard set categories. A focus deck asks questions by playing threats and executing game plan. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this as quickly as possible. Do you have an answer? If not, I win. The trade away is you trade resources to put an opponent's essentially on the clock. So you go all in to put a focus on, hey, this needs to be resolved or I'm going to take it. So it forces the issue with them. And sometimes this can push a deck into what would be considered glass cannon area, where if they disrupt your game plan and you go all in on it and they call you, you're kind of dead in the water. And you tend to optimize and design for the short-term games. And from here, an unanswered threat can have a ceiling of you win the game The goal is to remove roadblocks and protect your threats. You'll be able to move forward. Using aggro is a bit nuanced here. Like, we don't really want to use it because of how much the term is wrapped up in creature or instant sorcery-based burn or aggro magic, for lack of better words.
Yeah, because a lot of times when we talk about a focused deck, we're often looking at the what we would sometimes call a fast combo deck in other formats, where the goal is to try to win the game as fast as possible by assembling a game-winning combo on the spot.
Yeah, these are the kind of decks that want to go all in. They don't really care about card advantage or setting up the late game because they want the game to be over before then.
So in terms of these, I think of a deck like Torbrand, Fane of Redfell. I built the deck to take advantage of cards like Cavalcade of Calamities, Purphoros, Classic Grenzo, to make as many small bodies as I can as fast as possible, use Torbrand's ability to add +2 to many instances of 1 or 2 damage at a time to end the game as quickly as I can before the more value-based decks can take me down.
In the CDH meta, there is a very focused all-in deck. It's basically just the Godo Helm of the Host combo deck, where it's called a one-card combo because you only need one card plus your commander to go off. So the deck is completely focused around all of the fast mana, all the red mana rituals, the rocks, everything they can in order to cast Godo, which will then tutor the helm and then win the game. So you just have to count to, whatever, 11, and then you got it.
And then decks like Ryze. I've got my commander itself, Ryze, which focuses on creating those tokens for me. Effects like Doubling Season or Anointed Procession, which allow me to increase the amount of tokens I have. And then cards that look at ETB effects that don't have to be cast or non-token, like Seasons of Growth, to leverage that board presence, eventually swing for lethal.
On the other end of this spectrum is value. These are decks that are absolutely aiming for late game. They're willing to sacrifice speed in order to create and exploit a resource imbalance with the opponents. These are the kinds of decks that want to use reusable or massive single shot forms of getting ahead, whether it's through mana or card advantage or any other in-game resource. These games want to optimize for going long, and they are often full of answers in order to get to that long game. If they die before they can set up their overwhelming card advantage, then that's not going to really be very useful.
And this is different from classic control in 16-4 Magic, right? Because we're not looking at draw, go, I'm going to counter your thing, and or I'm going to answer the one threat my one opponent plays on a turn.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why that doesn't work as well in Commander. You can't just go one for one trading for people's threats because you'll very quickly run out of cards since there are three opponents and only one of you.
Yeah, and I've often found, for example, in my Slimefoot the Stowaway deck, I built the deck to take advantage of mana sinks, having a mana sink in the command zone and then effects like Seedborn Muse to effectively multiply my mana by 3, as well as the ability to just do the Golgari thing and abuse the graveyard. So I always have something to do with all my mana on every turn of the game.
Another deck example would be Opus Thief by Shaper Savant. It's another of the CEDH decks. And this deck is just full of card advantage, either one-shot things like Ad Nauseam or a plethora of engines like Smothering Tithe and Notion Thief that combo really well with all of the Wheel of Fortune effects that the deck packs.
And also on the CDH side, there's a Yark the Desecrated. While it's not full of necessary one-shots like Opus Thief is, it does leverage Yark's ability to trigger twice creatures entering the battlefield, with effects like Overburden, which attacks your opponent's ability to develop a mana base or land base, and Ramp effects, where it allows you to put yourself ahead of these restrictions you've put in place. So the more the game goes on, the more it builds towards it, and you overwhelm your opponent with advantage.
And I think an important takeaway from what we're discussing here is that there are some decks that are more focused than others. There are some value decks that are more value-oriented than others. This is a spectrum, not a binary. But having those two ends of the spectrum to act as our categorization makes it a lot easier to discuss these decks. If I come over and say, Jake, I want to make a value-based Torbrand deck, That's a much different ask than, Alex, I want to build a focused all-in Tor brand deck. One of those also might be a lot easier than the other to do. Some decks that are hyper-focused, as we said before, can lead into that glass cannon situation where if you are unable to pull off your focused win condition early, oftentimes that means your deck doesn't work at all. And on the other hand, there's often times when a value deck can get so greedy with developing its resources that it leaves openings for quicker decks to take advantage of and exploit when it's essentially tapped out and unable to interact successfully.
The few times that I try to brew my own decks, I often fall into that trap where I'm just stuffing it full of card advantage and whatnot. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I don't actually have a way to not lose or to win the game.
I found I run into that problem too, where I just want to stack so much synergy into my decks. So everything possible combos with everything else, and I get the most value out of everything. And then I forget simple things like ramp or interaction.
But you have Scrap Trawler. What more could you need?
Leave Scrap Trawler alone. Now, there's often going to be a back and forth, and you'll see it play out across many games of Commander within your meta, where you'll see the focus decks trying to score the knockout blows before the value decks can really establish their engines and get too far ahead. As decks start to speed up, they move the critical turn earlier and earlier. So focus decks are trying to be the first one to get to that critical turn. Then you see interaction increasing as decks try to find ways to effectively disrupt the focus deck's game plans. Once they've figured out the interaction that stops the metagame, then the focus decks are put in check. Value decks begin to swing the pendulum back towards their end of the spectrum, and it turns into a race to try to out-resource one another. Eventually, a new focus deck sees a way that the value decks are getting greedy and then swoops in to exploit that, and the pendulum swings again. There's been discussions in a lot of very well-developed metas. For example, the meta that some of the Lab Maniacs belong to, another CDH podcast, bemoaning the fact that everything has turned into a grind fest in the past few years.
I like that they've slowed down a bit. It gives you a more nuanced variation of the kind of games you're playing. One of our highly sought after banning of Flash makes it so games no longer end on turn zero or turn one. The games can go out longer. You see more games of Magic. You see more interactions. And some people are of the mind where, well, if you lose a game, you can move on to the next game. We can play more games of Magic. And it comes down to, do you want to play more games of Magic or do you want to play quality games of Magic?
What do you think, Jake?
Mentioning Flash, we could also kind of tie it back into the focused value spectrum. The reason that Flash and all of its various deck types was such a problem is that it basically got to play a completely focused deck while also being a value deck. So instead of being some point on this spectrum, it was basically the entire line, and it could just pick off wherever it wanted to go based on the game state.
Yeah, for those who are less familiar with the CEDH meta, the reason why so many CEDH players were interested in seeing Flash banned is that it is essentially a two-card win-the-game combo for one blue mana and one generic mana, which the only point of interaction is often a single counterspell, which meant that the deck could very comfortably develop, build out a value-based game plan, and at any time anybody tapped out on anybody's turn, a Flash deck could swoop in and steal the win. So yes, being able to be both focused and value-based is good. However, not many other decks are capable of doing that the same way that the classic Flash Hole decks are.
Yeah, it's good for the deck. It is not as good for the meta.
So any closing thoughts on the discussion of focused decks, value decks, and how we categorize these strategies?
A good thing to remember is that these are just general ideas of how we look at the game that we love and how it breaks down into different categories as we view them. And by no means are they set in stone, and there could definitely be variations where, hey, I run a very focused deck, but it's got some value components to it. So it's not meant to be set in stone, just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, they're very helpful terms for discussing decks and brewing with other folks. It helps you get your deck's point across fairly concisely so that everybody's on the same page. And they're not tied to power levels in any way. You can have very battle cruisery decks that fall into all of these different categories. You can also go all in top tier CEDH, and you'll still find each of these categories populated.
Yeah, exactly. You can have an optimized deck that is heavily based in value, and you can also have a casual deck that is actually quite focused on what it wants to do. It all depends on what your goal is as you try to build the deck to the level that you want it to be. So we hope you found our discussion on strategies interesting. This has been the crew from Gemstone Mine. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Jake.
And we hope you'll join us for the next episode.
You can reach the crew from Gemstone Mine on Twitter at GemstoneMineMTG or send us an email at GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, we're Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.